Welcome to The B Word, a women's lifestyle podcast. I'm your host, Katie Ploss. I'm a school psychologist, women's wellness coach, a doula, and the founder of BU, a women's wellness community. I created The B Word to share my stories, knowledge, and training to help you navigate the everyday challenges of being a woman. We discuss everything from navigating dating and relationships, parenting, building a career, to just finding what you're passionate about and figure out who you are meant to be. At The B Word, we aim to destigmatize mental health challenges, grow, heal, and empower you to be your most authentic self. Let's dive into today's episode. Hello, hello, and welcome to the 10th episode of season 3 of The B Word. I am your host, Katie P. Happy Monday. And welcome to this episode titled, B is for Boundaries. I told y'all last week I was committed to B words being the theme for the month of April and doing little episodes based on words that start with B to celebrate the new season and the title change and all that good stuff. We're moving it forward with B is for Boundaries. Boundaries is such an important B word to have in your vocabulary. And I would be remiss if I went this month talking about B words and I did not talk about boundaries. Boundaries is a buzzword, another B word, buzz. No, but boundaries is a big buzzword that we're hearing all over social media and in pop culture. And what does it even really mean? What do people misuse it? Yes. But what does it really mean? And what does it really mean in staying true to yourself? And I think it's such an important conversation to have, especially on a podcast where we're talking about how to stay true to yourself and how to be your most authentic self. Having healthy boundaries is critical in doing that. And so that's what I want to talk about today. Last week, you guys were loving the Reddit tea. So I'm going to bring that a little bit onto this episode this week because you guys really enjoyed that. I did a poll on Instagram last week and a lot of people want to hear more Reddit tea. So I'm going to bring some of that today while I'm talking about boundaries. I'm going to use, there are some stories that I found on Reddit that and Instagram that are really applicable to a conversation about boundaries. And I think also really relatable, especially if you are in between the ages of 25 and 35. I think you'll really be able to relate to that. But really, anyone of any age can relate to this concept of setting clear boundaries. I also promised you guys that last week I would update you all if there was an update in the Juliet Pepperwood saga with the bridesmaid horror story. And there was an update shortly after last week's episode dropped. So go to Juliet Pepperwood's Instagram if you want to keep up in real time with this story. It seems to be like once a week and it's like Mondays, Sundays that she's updating. But last week she came out and updated us with like a part eight to the saga. And essentially they did find out, or they think they found out, where the $7,000 actually went. So if you guys didn't listen to the episode last week, basically, long story short, there was this Reddit user that posted this incredibly insane story about her soon-to-be sister-in-law that she basically stole the money given to her for her bachelorette party to book like the Airbnb and the accommodations for her bachelorette trip. She basically stole the money and did not use it for the bachelorette trip. Turns out her dad paid for the bachelorette trip. And she put it towards something else. And there was this like wild ride of them trying to figure out where the money went. And then they ended up going on the trip. And this bride disappeared. And then she came for a day. And then she came back and had a boob job. So they're like, did you spend the $7,000 on the boob job? I can't even believe this is true. So many of you were messaging me like, how is this true? And I was like, yeah, I don't know. But apparently it is. So they found out in the latest installment what happened. Was it on the boob job? No, because apparently she was sleeping with the surgeon and the surgeon gave her the boob job for free. No, it was not that. It was apparently when she was sleeping with the plastic surgeon who did her boob job, she went to his home and stole. He's married, of course, because why wouldn't he be? And she stole the wife's Tiffany earrings from his home. And then that all got found out because that wife
is no dummy and put two and two together, figured out that they were sleeping together, saw this girl, saw she was wearing her missing earrings. And so the bride, I apparently used the $7,000 to pay back for the earrings that she stole and then lost and couldn't find. And that was the latest update. And I talked about that story and I wanted to talk about bridesmaid horror stories and bridezillas because I'm in the season of my life where there are so many weddings that I've been a part of. And I was saying on the last episode, like, I've been a bridesmaid now going into my eighth round of being a bridesmaid. And it ties into this episode of boundaries because these are, when you're standing up in a wedding and you're committing to being a bridesmaid, there's so many responsibilities that come with that. And I have had to set at times over the years of standing up in multiple weddings, I've had to set uncomfortable boundaries that weren't always popular with the group or the bride or the wedding party. And that's really difficult to do. It's really difficult to do when, you know, like there's this culture out there of everything has to be completely tailored for the bride, which honestly, it's a whole other episode. It annoys me. And we're going to talk about weddings again next week because my wedding photographer is recording the podcast for next week with me. And we'll get into all of this. But yeah, I just think I think a lot of women that are friends of brides, or if a lot of your friends are getting married or going through this life milestone, it's super exciting. But sometimes your needs, your budget gets trampled over in favor of catering to someone else's big life event. And it can get really frustrating sometimes, especially when you've done it 8 times. So that's why I wanted to bring it on the show. But I wanted to talk about B is for boundaries because, yeah, it's so easy to get lost in wanting to cater to the loved ones in your life and wanting to be there for them and support them and look like a supportive loved one and portray that image. But what happens is when we overcommit to that, we betray ourselves and we betray our own, not even wants, but our own needs. And I see it happen so much. And I really do hope that society, we start to not normalize how often and how common this is. But I think that's why I love that boundaries is such a buzzword in society. Like it's, and so many people are talking about it. And a lot of people are confronting some of the misinformation about what boundaries really are. And what does a boundary even really mean? And in my family growing up, for me, boundaries historically was a negative thing. Having boundaries meant that you had distance. Like I can remember, my dad has even said this in recent years. Like to me, boundaries are that you have created distance from me, or like you're like blocking me from a certain area of your life, or being made aware of information that could harm or help our relationship. And by withholding information from me, or by withholding your part of yourself from me, by with these boundaries, you're creating distance. And that could not be further from the truth. That is such a misinterpretation of what boundaries really are. And because I had this experience in my own family, I became very passionate about really learning about what boundaries really even friggin' mean. Boundaries are really staying true to yourself. And when you're upholding your own boundaries, you end up creating so much more closeness in your relationships. You create so much more opportunities for intimacy and for just really showing up in your relationships as your authentic self. And I think we miss that when we're constantly betraying ourselves and betraying our needs and betraying our core values in order to people please. And in order to keep the peace, so to speak, we may be keeping the peace externally around us, but we're not keeping the peace within ourselves. And that inherently creates more chaos in our own lives. And it's like this self-fulfilling prophecy, vicious cycle that so many of us get caught up in. And whether you're caught up in this cycle because you can't say no and you've been a bridesmaid like me a million times and you're like breaking the bank, or you're just really looking the other way about a family member who is really disrespectful to you or makes really inappropriate comments, and you just don't say anything to keep the peace and you don't set a boundary for yourself, you're just creating, you're betraying yourself and you're creating more chaos within yourself. You're creating potentially anxiety. You're creating self-deprecating thoughts to come up. You're really manifesting those things. And so learning what boundaries are and learning how to set boundaries, it truly does elevate your relationships to a whole new level. And that's really what I want. I hope you walk away today with. I also hope you walk away with normalizing that setting boundaries is fucking hard and it's really uncomfortable. There is no way around it. It is uncomfortable. Anything, in my opinion, worth doing is going to feel a little bit uncomfortable. So with that said, I want to read a couple of vignettes, so to speak. These are true. They're true stories as far as what the internet says. But I think whether they're true or not, we can relate to them or somebody that's going through something similar. And you can, you know, relate your own personal story to what this poster is writing. Where did I go to get these vignettes, you ask, on the good old Reddit? I went to the thread, Am I the Asshole? Because I love when people post, Am I the Asshole? And they give you this story. And on Reddit, people will vote like, is the poster the OP, the asshole, or are they not the asshole and the other person is in the wrong in this situation? So I'm going to read this to you. And like I said, it's short. It's not as long as the Juliet Pepperwood story, but I want you to think about yourself on both sides of this story and who do you relate to more, and really reflect on, like, why do I relate to one person over the other and what does that mean for me and how I set boundaries in my relationships? So this one is, and I swear to God that I'm not making this up. This is literally, if you're watching video, this is literally on Reddit. I didn't write this. Am I the asshole for not rallying around my sister after her pregnancy losses and devastating fertility news? My sister, Emma, 31 female, and I, 27 male, have never been close. Over the years, she has stated clearly on multiple occasions that she does not like me, does not want me as her brother, and wishes she could trade me for another younger sister or a younger, cuter brother, aka a bigger age gap for me. Weird. We have two more sisters, Lily, who's 30, and Kara, who's 28. Things like this were said when we were kids and adults as well. So 4 years ago, I decided to take a huge step back from her, and I am civil when I see her, but I do not care what happens in her life, and I make zero effort to stay in touch with her or be in her life. I did not invite her to my wedding either. She technically invited me to hers pre-stepping back, but then she made a big deal out of me staying out of her way, not sitting with the rest of the family, and all kinds of junk like that, so I did not attend. In the last 3 years, Emma had multiple miscarriages, and 2 or 3 weeks ago was told the miscarriages had done some harm that has left her infertile. The rest of our family rallied around her when she was losing the pregnancies, and they have been there for her more since the latest news, but I have not. My parents and my other two sisters have told me I should put our differences aside and be there. Kara showed me the text from Emma expressing a wish to see me and have me around her too. But I told them I was not going to forget a lifetime of being wished away and telling me she didn't want me to be her brother. They told me she has likely learned from all of this and regrets it, and they said the news that I'm going to be a dad probably makes it more real. Oh, so he's going to be a dad. Okay. Didn't read that part when I was previewing this. Whoops. My parents told me regardless of any issues, we should love each other. I didn't tell them that I don't love her, but that is true. I don't love Emma. I don't feel that family loyalty bond with her. Emma reached out to me 2 days ago, and my family got pissed at me when I still didn't go to see her and comfort her or even answer the phone to her. They said I am behaving much more cruelly than she ever did. The whole thing is getting to me now. I still have zero desire to reconcile and start again with Emma, but I feel like I'm going to lose the rest of my family if I don't fake it and just go with the flow. Am I the asshole? This is a prime example of what I'm talking about, of betraying yourself to appease and please other people. Emma's family is very uncomfortable with this idea that there's dissonance in the family and they don't like it. And so they are pressuring the brother to just fake it and go with the flow. What does the Reddit community have to say? They are voting not the asshole. This guy, 27 male. I don't think he said his name. Not the asshole, not for a minute. This is the top comment with 2,000 upvotes. If you decide to meet with Emma to appease your family, one task you might place on her is to take ownership of her repeated rejections of you and make sure the family understands that her desire to reconcile with you places you under no obligation to accept it. Anyone insisting on this reconciliation is doing so for their own comfort, not yours. Yes, preach. If it might do you good to hear an apology, if it will restore some sense that you did nothing to deserve the rejection, but even if she publicly acknowledges the harm she did, expresses regret, and takes steps to make amends, you are free to accept her apology without forgiving her or not. You have no obligation here. And if anyone insists that you have to forgive that harm to move on in peace, they are wrong. And then you have other people that are like, I disagree with this. Maybe in the future, but not now. If anything, OP could send a flower arrangement. That would be an acknowledgement of the occurrence while also being impersonal. He need not even do that except to help his mom and sisters feel better. I think what makes these situations complicated is that two conflicting truths can be true at the same time. We can feel very sad and compassionate and empathetic for difficult circumstances that people are going through. And I said, if you're between the ages of 25 and 35, 40, maybe, you can relate to how either yourself or people that are going through infertility. Way more common than is talked about in most spaces. And that's partly why I picked this topic, is because it's something that isn't really discussed in public spaces because there's this like stigma and shame around it, which is bullshit. Again, it's such a common thing. And it can be true that we can have compassion for that, and it can be, and we can have compassion and empathy for that. That is so difficult, and I don't wish that on anybody. I don't wish on anyone that they want, their desire is to have a child, and they cannot do that for whatever reason, physically. As a woman, that's such a traumatic and difficult experience to go through. We just had an episode about it. It is. It really is trauma to have to go through that experience. And we can still hold this conflicting truth to be true, that people aren't perfect, and people that go through really hard things can have maybe also done really harmful or hurtful things to other people. And how do we balance those things? And these are one of those moments where it's, yeah, setting a boundary for yourself is likely going to be unpopular to someone that's related to the situation. The OP is saying his family is like very upset that he isn't, that the brother isn't being there for his sister during this difficult time. But I want you to think about, and I said it before I read this, who do you relate to more and why? And there's no right or wrong answer here. There really isn't. If you relate more to Emma, then think about maybe how the status of your relationships can set you back to not have the support you may need when you're faced with a really difficult situation like that, even if you're not going through that right now. And if you really relate to the OP, think about a time or multiple times when you have had to maybe self-sacrifice or self-sabotage your own boundaries in order to please other people. And I'd say the majority of people are going to relate to that more, right? Because a lot of us do that. Our society normalizes doing that, especially for women. But men and women do it. This OP is a man. This can happen to men and women. And I want to offer you this. I follow the holistic psychologist on Instagram, and I am obsessed with her. And she is just a fantastic wealth of knowledge about healing yourself and coming back to yourself and being a self-healer. So I'll link her Instagram in the show notes if you want to check out her content. And a link to her book. I really highly recommend her. But she talks about setting boundaries a lot and staying true to yourself. And so I thought she was a very valuable resource to bring into the conversation today. And she posted this back in December, but it was one that I remembered and I liked. She posted, being incredibly loyal to people that hurt you over and over again is called codependency. Codependency is something that I hear so many women struggling with. And it gets generalized as codependence as being like enablers for people that have a substance abuse problem. But codependency is much bigger than just like someone that is in close relationship with an addict. This is codependency. Being incredibly loyal to people that hurt you over and over again is called codependency. And back 10 years ago now, when my therapist looked at me dead in the eyes and was like, you are codependent. When I was going through my toxic relationships, I was stunned. I didn't even know. First of all, I hadn't even heard that word 10 years ago. What is a codependent? Didn't know. She was like, what do you mean you don't know what that is? No, she was nice about it. But she directed me to a book called Codependent No More. I recommend it all the time to people that are struggling with setting boundaries in their relationships. So I will also link Codependent No More in the show notes. It's a classic, the classic book. I think anybody that is working on their self-healing and working on their relationships should check out this book. But the holistic psychologist was writing about this, and then she posted an example as well. And so I'm going to read it to you about Jackie. So Jackie is 31, and she attracts men that subconsciously want to be mothered. Again, I think this is a very common experience that happened with women. This happened to me, and I over and over again in different scenarios. So I have been Jackie. We have all been Jackie at some point. Many, well, not all of us, but many of us listening to this have been Jackie at some point in time. So Jackie, 31, attracts men that subconsciously want to be mothered. She grew up watching her parents in a loveless marriage. They rarely fought and they did not disrespect each other, but she never got to see how a relationship is actually nurtured. She never saw two people meeting each other's needs. From a young age, like most children from loveless marriage, she had fantasy attachments. She would meet someone and fall head over heels. They were perfect, and all she could do was try to be worthy. My picker is off, she tells friends. Most of the men she dates are charming but deceptive, mysterious but emotionally unavailable. And her impulse is to love them harder, to over-understand where they're coming from. Even when her last boyfriend was caught in an emotional affair at work, she found herself trying to comfort him. He sobbed and talked about how broken and sorry he was. She wasn't even aware that even in the moment, it was all about him. Jackie isn't yet aware that her fierce loyalty and ability to stick it out with men who don't give back is a learned behavior. She hasn't yet connected that watching her mother get breadcrumbs of love from her father shifted her perception of love. Codependency has her believing she has to give everything to be loved, and that when she doesn't get that love back, it's because she doesn't deserve it. A story she will one day unlearn. Hashtag self-healers. Woof! I relate too hard to that. The last paragraph specifically. Because, again, my therapist looked me dead in the eyes and was like, you are codependent. I don't think, just as a caveat, I don't think that your parents having a loveless marriage is the only way that you become a codependent. There are lots of paths to codependency, okay? This is a common one. But I also think, too, that there is some, and I love Disney, I'm a Disney adult, but there is some relevance to that. I think there are some media, pop culture and media for little girls, especially in the 90s and 80s, that really did perpetuate this, like, Beauty and the Beast, like, we can fix him, we can change him type of mentality. So I think there's exposure in the media to these things. I do think that, but this is a common phenomenon, I think, amongst women that to become codependent. I want to read this again because I think it is so relevant. Codependency has her believing she has to give everything to be loved, and that when she doesn't get that love back, it's because she doesn't deserve it. That was a story I had to also unlearn, is that I didn't have to give everything to be loved. And I think in my family, I was saying that there was a misunderstanding about what boundaries were, that you had to give, you have to give all of yourself to a relationship to have true closeness. And I really think that this is, I know that this is something I had to really unlearn in order to up-level my relationships, in order to identify not only the romantic relationships, but friendships that weren't serving me and my highest good. And it's not because I'm better than them. It's because I was betraying myself over and over again. And that's still something that's hard for me now as I'm talking about this now. I'm in my head, I'm like doing a mental calculation of like where in my life I still struggle with this. Because it's such a hard thing to unlearn. And that is what the holistic psychologist really speaks about and being a self-healer. And so to relate it back to this, the Reddit story and his sister, it's so uncomfortable to have to set painful boundaries in situations where it seems black and white. Oh, when a family member is going through a very difficult time, we should drop everything and just be there for them no matter what that person has done to us. But again, being incredibly loyal to people that hurt you over and over again is called codependency. I'm not talking about forgiveness. I think someone else in the, when I was reading the comments, was talking about, you know, you don't, you can forgive someone, but you don't have to accept, or you can accept someone's apology, but you don't have to forgive them. You can love someone from afar. You can create distance in a relationship and have that be the most healthy thing that you could do for that relationship. And there are plenty of situations in my life, and I hope that you're thinking of a few in your own as you're listening to this, of where you created distance in a relationship and it was healthy for both you and that other person. For Emma, it went, if she's going through this incredibly devastating, difficult time, just like you want the people close to you to celebrate your milestones with you and your accomplishments with you, when you're really going through the dark times, you also want people that are close to you, that you have a strong, healthy relationship with, that can help support you during that time. And if you don't have that with that person, they're not the right people to be around you during those times. I think that Emma herself lacks a lot of self-awareness. I think a lot of people in general lack a lot of self-awareness about how their comments can really damage, and how relationships really damage people, and how your words matter. Your words matter. You don't just get to say whatever you want, especially to family. You know, I think that's also like families really struggle with boundaries, because no matter what I say, no matter what I do, their family, and so they will be there for me when push comes to shove. Even if I alienate every single person in my life, my family, my siblings, my parents, they'll show up for me. And sometimes that's truly not the healthiest thing to do. Sometimes the healthiest thing to do with a sibling that you have a toxic relationship with, or a parent that you have a toxic relationship with, is to create distance so that you can be true to yourself. You can't control what other people do. You can't control what your sibling or what your parent or what your family member is going to do and how they're going to show up in your relationship. You can't get people to change. You can't make people apologize for the things that they have said or done. It's not within our control. The only things that are within our control are setting boundaries and making room for relationships that align with our authentic self. That is why boundaries are so important. That's why this title, B is for Boundaries, was chosen, and why I wanted to talk about boundaries. I think these two examples that I read to you during this episode are so relevant to so many people I know, including myself. And I also think that so many of us feel the pressure to betray ourselves on a regular basis in order to appease other people, in order to keep the peace. There's no peace. There's no peace when you do that. Peace is a farce. It's a lie. So people are like, oh, why do you have to say X, Y, and Z? Why do you have to double down and really stick up for yourself? Why can't you just let it go? You're letting it go by setting a boundary. That is how you truly let something go. By setting a boundary. And sometimes setting the boundary means walking away. Sometimes it means having a restorative conversation. And it means surrendering to the reality that you can't control what that other person is going to do, but you can share how what they do makes you feel. And because you feel the way you feel about their behavior, you have to step away in order to preserve your own mental wellness. And that's okay. That's okay. I think we all need that reminder sometimes. I think we all feel the pressure to like just look like nothing bothers us and we can just go with the flow. I do all the time. I wish I could go with the flow more than I do, but I don't. I'm a big feeler. I am someone that has been blessed, I like to say, with the propensity to feel really big. I feel huge. Nolan and I talk about this a lot because he's also a big feeler. So between the two of us, there's just like a lot of feelings going on all the time. And when you're a big feeler, it is like not possible to just let things roll off sometimes. Like you really have to feel the feeling before it can pass and move on. I talk to my clients about that all the time. And when people in your life and your family, especially like to this OP about why can't you just let it go and come support your sister during this difficult time, it's totally minimizing that his hurt feelings are illegitimate and that her feelings are more important and her experience is more important because it is arguably like more outwardly traumatic. And that's the other piece with setting boundaries with family that's really difficult is that there doesn't need to be a competition or a comparison of whose pain is more relevant and whose successes are more important. There is no competition. We are all relevant. All of our feelings matter. All of our experiences matter. And if we can't celebrate the wins together, we certainly aren't going to move through the losses together. And the way that we do that, the way that we can find the path to these up-leveled, healthy, beautiful relationships starts with setting boundaries for yourself and knowing what your boundaries are. So I want you to walk away from this episode this week thinking about where you can set boundaries in your relationships or where you have been lacking in setting boundaries in your relationships. And if you're really struggling with this and you're really struggling with what to do next, the next thing I would offer to you is that's a great reason to go to therapy. It's a great reason to go to therapy and talk through and process through the specifics of your circumstances and what is the best path forward for you. That's all I got for you today. B is for boundaries. I want you all to go forth and set boundaries. I love you all. I will be back next week, like I said, with my wedding photographer. We're going to be talking all things weddings. Juliet Pepperwood did post this morning that there's another update, so I'll probably update that again. Hopefully the last update. How many more updates could there be? But like I said, follow her on Instagram, Juliet Pepperwood, if you want the real-time updates. And I will be linking the holistic psychologist's Instagram in the show notes. And I'm also linking the Codependent No More book in the show notes. And also my website, ways you can work with me. You can also, besides like traditional therapy, I also work with my clients all the time on setting boundaries and how that looks for them in their lives. So if you are interested in working with me to work on your boundaries, head over to my website. I am taking new clients during the summer months while my psychology work takes a little bit of a slow season, and I would love to work with you this summer. So head over to my website to check that out. I will see you all next Monday for another episode of The B Word. Have a good week, everybody. That's all for this episode of The B Word. Don't forget to check out the show notes for any resources we shared with you today, as well as finding our links to our Instagram, Facebook, YouTube channel, and our website, bucommunity.com. You can find out all of our course offerings, memberships, opportunities to work with me individually, and more. That's all for now. See you next time.